Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio Produced podcast. It's a great podcast if you listen to it while drinking and thinking about life and stuff. According to Haiku 5 on Apple Podcasts, if you have a five-star review, leave it on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the air. And hey, join our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get two bonus episodes a week. Let me read the rest of this. I don't understand the title, this Haiku 5 review. The title is, I guess it's time to update. I guess he's talking about he maybe gave us a bad review at some point, he or she or they. Here's the review. Well, after clocking in over 100 hours of listening to this podcast, I guess it's time to give my dudes five stars. At first, Willie frustrated me to no end, but by now I've listened to them so much that he just seems like an old buddy that I can agree to disagree with. One day I'm going to figure out how to send them some good beer, though. I feel like Wade would be a Belgian triple guy and Willie would be down with the sours. Is he right about either of those? What's a Belgian triple?
I say Trippel. I don't know if I'm right.
It's probably Trippel, but it's spelled like Trippel.
Yeah, New Belgium used to make one that was pretty good, and I just don't know the nuances between the difference. I don't know what that is. But sours,
I've tried a
few. I don't like most of them, but I imagine that I like a couple, but I don't like most of them. So
I can get down with sours. I just wouldn't ever want to get drunk on a sour, you know?
Yeah. I like having one, but like,
it's a fun, refreshing mix up.
It's comparable to, I'm not going to say comparable in flavor, but like when you have like a Guinness or a peanut butter milk stout, it's like, it's so thick. You just want one.
Yeah.
I don't want a whole night of Guinness.
Yeah. I'm with you. Like, just give me lagers and pilsners and then mix it up every once in a while.
Yeah.
All right, let's welcome, because this our guest might have some info for us on this. So let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. He's our friend. He's an author and a musician. It's Chad Fiercet.
Hey, guys.
What's up, dude? Thanks for being here.
It's good to be here.
Do you know about beer? Can you shed light on is it triple or Trippel?
You know, I don't know what for sure. I think I've called it triple in the past, but it probably is Trippel, like you said.
Yeah. You know what? I would bet that either are acceptable. I bet if we looked it up, it would be like, meh, who cares?
Yeah. Right. Who's going to like own that thing? Like you guys, you're actually saying it wrong. Like,
I wonder if this guy's a brewer or something. Why is he? You can send us beer. Willie, give him your address.
Yeah, I'll get it to Wade also. When we left Fort Collins, our college town, like there were 200 microbrews in that town. Like I used to try a lot of beers, but there just weren't much in LA when we moved here, and now there are. It's pretty great. But most breweries out here only make IPAs, and I've given up on IPAs.
Yeah, I don't like IPAs. I don't like hops. So if a Trippel is hoppy, I probably wouldn't like it. But it says I'm reading it's an ale. So I might like it. I like ales.
IPAs too, but which is
the Trippel's a little darker and more caramely or something, isn't it?
That sounds right.
I like dark beers personally.
Yeah. Me too. Honestly, there aren't that many choices for dark beers when you go out here.
Yeah. There isn't.
I like when you get like some coconut in there or something.
Mm. Yeah, fun. coconut porter. That one's good. Maui.
Anything? You're a big beer drinker, or what's your beverage of choice?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I'm down with most beer, aside from really, you know, the really cheap pissy lagers. I'm not really a fan of those. But I'm more of a spirits man. You know, I like Negronis, Old Fashions, or just anything with tequila and mezcal, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm drinking tequila right now.
Did you know that, so like in America, when you get a mezcal, there's one worm in it. But if you get them in Japan, there's like 20 worms in it. Because the way that they drink them is when they do shots, everybody gets a worm. I'm like, oh, that's a cool, weird cultural thing that like.
Have you ever eaten the worm?
I want to say that I did, but I just don't remember when it happened. But I want to say that I have.
I didn't even know people actually did that. I thought that was something I heard about as a kid, and then I grew up like dreading the moment where someone was going to give me a shot with a worm in it, and it just never happened.
Yeah, I always think of that scene in Poltergeist 2.
Me too.
I'll probably never eat the worm because of that. So
that me Wait, too. That
I don't think I've ever seen Poltergeist 2.
No. Also, he's saying like Poltergeist. Is it 2?
Wait, there's a.
I thought it happened in part 2, but it might be in the original. Yeah.
I don't think it did.
Wait a minute.
I don't remember any worm thing.
You're right. It is 2. It is 2. Because the old man's in it. But so he's drinking tequila and they zoom in on the worm spinning around in the liquor bottle, and then it comes to life, and then he finishes the whole bottle. And then it grows inside of him, and the fucking man without arms and legs like comes out of his mouth. It's crazy and crawls away.
That sounds nothing like what I know of Poltergeist. Like
it is.
Poltergeist was such a subtle ghost story, and this is just like
it's scary though, dude. Like in 2, they have this old preacher guy that's like keeps walking around the house. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps, dude. Like Poltergeist really hit me. I watched them all too young.
I don't know. It sounds campy.
First one is still legendary, but the second one to me doesn't hold up. But yeah, that old man reminds me a lot of the tall man in Phantasm. I don't know if you guys are a fan of that, but I'm a big fan of that movie. So.
Love Phantasm, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't – I've never seen Phantasm. I'm not really a horror guy. I'm only watching the Friday the 13th franchise. I've never seen any Friday the 13th, and I'm on like 7 right now or something like that. I'm on the one where he's on a boat the whole time and they say he goes to Manhattan.
That's number 8.
That's 8? Okay.
A lot of people think that's the worst one. I think it might be my favorite one.
Listen, here's the thing about that movie. If it was not marketed as Jason Takes Manhattan, it would have been fine because Jason on a boat is scary. But the whole time you're like, when the fuck are they going to get to Manhattan? And then it's like the last half hour of the movie.
They make you wait. I think it works, you know?
My favorite is, what's the one where it's not Jason? It's like some copycat dude.
Oh, well, there's a couple of them that I still haven't seen. So maybe it's like 5, 6, or 7 or something.
It might be 5. My favorite one is like the one after that, where they're sort of like restarting because they're like, "Oh, we fucked up with this." I wonder if it's 3 actually. Wait, so what happens? It's the mom, and then Jason gets the hockey mask in 3, right?
And then in number 4, Corey Feldman and Crispin Glover steal the show.
Oh, yeah. 4 is great. And then, so 4 is the one where he gets the hatchet in the head, right?
I believe so.
The machete in the head. And then the mask has that indent from that point on.
Yeah.
So I think 5 is the one where it's like just some paramedic. And you're like, what? It's like his son died earlier in the movie and you don't even know that it's his son. And then he's the killer. Spoiler alert, I guess. But this is a fucking 40-year-old movie. I think 5 is my favorite, but I don't even remember what happens in 5. And then 6 is 6 the one where she's got telekinesis powers?
That's 6 or 7, and a lot of people talk that one up, and I don't think I've ever seen it. I think I need to get on that pretty soon. I'm assuming it's
camp. You should watch it. It's pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Because she's just like moving shit with her mind, and it's pretty good, actually. I'm backtracking. I think maybe that's my favorite one.
Good. Sounds fun.
But anyway, this whole point is I don't watch a lot of scary movies. The only thing I ever saw as a kid was like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, if you're gonna see one, that's a good one to see. That's for sure.
Yeah, but probably like the 4th one or whatever came out when I was like, 10.
Dude, I mean, if you're gonna watch Nightmare on Elm Street, you should definitely at least watch one of the first 3. And then watch A New Nightmare.
Why?
I think A New Nightmare is solid, but you need to watch one of the ones before just to feel the Freddy character.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, I know who Freddy is.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen, wait, I'm sorry. I'm freaking out because I just fucking, I think I deleted our bonus episode. But anyways,
what?
I was fucking,
do we need to trying pause? To
make, I was trying to make space because we had used up all of our online space, so I deleted stuff, and this happened before, but I think I accidentally deleted what we just recorded. But at any rate, fucking A. Did you say watched?
Way to take the wind out of our sails here.
I know, dude. I'm sorry. That's why I didn't hear. Did you say you haven't watched any of the Nightmare on Elm Streets?
No, they're the only ones that I have.
Okay. Sorry. Fuck.
Well, it was a shitty episode anyway. What did we talk about? Fucking, I don't even remember. We just did it. I don't even remember.
So we're just going to start over?
No.
This bonus. Is before.
Oh, I
this
see.
This is before you joined.
I see.
Chad, how into paranormal stuff are you in general?
Paranormal. I haven't had any personal experiences that really gave me a bold impression or made me lean one way or the other. I definitely believe in it as a concept, and I believe in. You know, I believe in the spirituality and like.
Oh wait, I was too specific. I just mean everything that we talk about on this show. Are you a big like conspiracy theory guy or anything like that?
Well, no.
That's okay. No, that's fine. And we have a quiz, and we're gonna go over all of the various ones. But I just wanted to get a gauge before we do that on like if you had any interest in this stuff.
I mean, I find them fascinating when someone brings them up. It's not something that I spend my time drilling into, but when I hear about something, I'm definitely, you know, very interested and amused.
What's like the craziest topic and outside of conspiracy theories that you've become obsessed with?
Obsessed with?
Mm. Or just drilled into, to use your parlance.
Well, I mean, getting really, really specific, I tend to always, my brain always goes back to that the story about Dr. John C. Lilly and his communications with aliens and, you know, the whole story. And that's what Echo the Dolphin is named after, the Sega Genesis game. you know about this story or no?
No.
I remember hearing it a little bit. I think because you posted about it.
Yeah. It's just like the most fascinating story I've ever heard. There's a lot of kind of paranormal theory stuff going on in there. So my brain always goes back to it.
Oh, this is the guy who drugged dolphins and like jerked them off, right?
Well, he took a specific dolphin from this woman who had she had an intimate relationship with the dolphin and she lived with it. And she was the one who jerked the dolphin off. But then he specifically wanted this dolphin for his experiments and took it from her. And then once he took the dolphin from her, the dolphin killed itself, committed suicide, which I didn't know that dolphins could do, but apparently they can by drowning itself in its tank. So then that set him off into a crazy depression. And then he became obsessed with using a lot of ketamine and going on these tank trips, sensory deprivation trips. And then he started thinking he was communicating with aliens and they were communicating with him from something called the Earth.
I've got it right here. Earth Coincidence Control Office.
Yes.
And that's how coincidence is in the name.
And that's where the name Echo the Dolphin came from. And that's why that game has such a weird, trippy vibe and always has.
I love that game. And then when they made it for the Dreamcast, it was mesmerizing. Did you play that one?
No, I never played that one.
Oh, man. I mean, because the graphics were so much better. And it's just like, it was so abstract. It's such. I highly recommend Echo the Dolphin on Dreamcast.
I'd like to try that. I just listen to the game soundtrack from time to time. It's I would call it mesmerizing as well. Even though it's 16-bit, that doesn't change a damn thing for me, you know?
Yeah, and it was cool because it was such a unique style of game, too. Like, you're swimming around, and, like, you have to figure out how things work without communicating. You know, I mean, like, The game communicates with you not using words. It's great.
Right. There's like no.
I never had a Genesis, but I think I played it at a friend's house or something like that. And I remember really liking it because it was like games at that time were like Mortal Kombat and shit like that, right? And so this was just like you're a dolphin and you're swimming. And that was the entire game, as far as I know.
It's the first taste of meditation, right? It's just like, whoa, oh, I don't have to learn how to fight you when you're trying to fight me. I do want to add this, that the dolphin that played Flipper from the old TV series, that dolphin committed suicide also. But go on. Whoa. I always knew that.
Really?
I mean, it takes some crazy willpower to drown yourself, right? Like, that's insane.
You would think.
Yeah. Or do you just go deep enough where it's impossible, even if you're struggling to get air in time? But tanks,
I thought I read that
enough.
They turn themselves upside down and take a big breath upside down, basically.
Oh, my God, that's dark. Holy shit.
It's got to be a lot different as a dolphin than as a human. That's all I know.
I mean, they're supposed to be smarter than us, so maybe they're just smarter at killing themselves, too. Maybe it's a very peaceful way to go.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
And they say that drowning is like euphoric, but like the panic leading up to that is got to be the worst thing in the world.
Who says euphoric?
People. Right. I've heard it. I've heard that like drowning is supposed to be euphoric.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
I've always heard the opposite. I've always heard it's one of the worst ways to die.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'm just outdated. I don't know. I know that I would never drown myself. There's so many better ways to kill yourself.
Gosh.
Yeah, it would be a little too slow. For me.
Yes, for sure.
Love a good conflicting theories, though. Conflicting info, so, you know.
I mean, you got to go with a bunch of pills, right? That's got to be the best way.
Oh, well, I'd have to think about it. I haven't decided which way I would go, you know?
You don't have to weigh in on this.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want to know. That's why I could never do it, because I don't want to know.
A gun to the head would be hard, but fast, you know? You just have to pull the trigger. The pill thing would almost be like you could immediately regret that and then panic. I don't know. Yeah. There's hanging might be fun, but only if you can snap your neck.
The pill thing seems too unreliable to me, you know?
It's 100%. Like most of the people who survive do pills, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I like how Willie's just not into this topic.
It stresses me out because I think about all the people that had like tried to commit suicide and they were saved, but like their life is ruined because like there was somebody who like drank so much shit that they ruined their whole intestines, you know? So like they had to suffering more now than they ever were because.
I feel here's my stance on this. First of all, don't commit suicide. Suicide prevention hotline, all that bullshit, like, you know, mental health stuff. But secondly, if you have people that are close enough to you that can find you when you're trying to commit suicide, you probably shouldn't commit suicide. Like, you're not lonely enough to be able to commit suicide. If you're like living with people and they can just walk in on you when you're killing yourself, like, you're being a little spoiled, I think.
I would suggest taking a bigger leap and trying to share your mind with someone, you know, because that will flip your life upside down, you know.
What does that mean? Share your mind.
I feel like if you feel lonely, you're not communicating enough. Well, I don't know if that's true either. I don't fucking know.
It can go both ways, but I mean, like, you know, just tell people how you feel is all you're saying, really, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, reach out. That's the whole thing. I'm just saying, if you're going to commit suicide and you live with like three people, you're living with three people. Like how bad can it be? Unless they're like, maybe they're bad people. Whatever. Let's get off this.
That's just a really interesting way to like, I don't know. You just putting yourself in a place with all these roommates is like, it's that important or special to you, you know, like. You got roommates. It's great to have roommates. You know?
It's a new. I'm thinking of a new way of like if you're not lonely enough that you could die and be alone for 2 days before anyone finds your body, you're probably not depressed. But I'm way oversimplifying it. I know it's more complicated than that. Let's do the WoW scale before I make a kid kill himself or something. All right. The WOW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. I wasn't ready to do this. If you're more toward a 0 side of the spectrum, you're more of a Wade. If you're more toward a 5, you're more of a Willie. And don't worry about your score. You're just going to answer these questions straight up, and I'll score you. Are you ready, Chad, to get weighed on the WOW scale?
I'm so ready.
WOW scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, first question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I do believe in aliens, but what if I don't have a strong opinion about the second part? I don't lean either
way.
Yeah,
you can abstain. Yeah, you could just be like, maybe it's possible.
Yeah, I'm neutral about the second part. I do believe that they exist out there, but I do not lean either way about whether or not they've been on Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question 2. Do you believe in ghosts?
I will say in some form, yes.
Define the form.
I kind of believe in the theory of kind of, there being multiple dimensions that exist all around us at all times. And you know, a lot of people believe that whether it be aliens or ghosts or these other beings that people experience, that it's just, other beings in these other dimensions that are all around us at all times. And sometimes that might even be connected to our own selves, if that makes sense.
It makes sense to me. Question number 3, do you believe in Bigfoot?
Bigfoot? No.
Oh, shit. Okay, a scoffing no for Bigfoot. That's going to factor into your score here. Question 4, do you believe in psychics?
Yeah, I do.
Have you been to a psychic? Do you go to psychics?
No, but I have a lot of witchy friends who like read tarot and stuff.
Like New Age sort of people?
Yeah, and you know, I believe in like zodiac and visions and stuff like that. So
you believe in the zodiac? So what are you, a Gemini?
No, I'm a Capricorn.
Gemini is just the first thing that I don't know.
I was going like, well, how did you come up with that?
No, it's just I think I heard it most recently. I'm a Scorpio. Willie's a Scorpio / Sagittarius.
Nice.
It's
Gemini season right now, so maybe that's why it came to your mind.
Oh, shit. Okay, so maybe it all works is what you're saying?
Maybe.
What are Capricorns known for?
They're very down-to-earth, loyal.
Bragging. These are just bragging terms.
very work-focused, but sometimes to a fault. And then the main downfall is overly stubborn, really, really stubborn.
Well, that sounds like what's Scorpio? Isn't Scorpio really stubborn?
Well, some of them share traits, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you know what a Capricorn is supposed to marry or be in a relationship with?
Oh, yeah. Virgos or Scorpios, actually.
So we could do like a 3-way marriage.
We could. Us three.
Let's get that health insurance cheat. Okay, question 5. Oh, wait, about psychics, though. So, but you haven't been to a psychic. You're just around people, and they've sort of, like, they're showing you their crystals and stuff.
Yeah, like halfway there type shit. Yeah.
Okay. Question 5, are you superstitious?
Yeah, like, lightly. I'm very, very into dreams and, like, thinking of them as, like, omens. So, I mean, that's
kind of... Oh, interesting.
That's kind of superstitious, isn't it?
I don't know what that is, because there's a whole, that could be like a New Agey thing too, right? Like dream interpretation.
Yeah. I think they can fit in with each other.
Where are you from?
I'm from the suburbs of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay. So you're like a big wrestling fan.
What makes you say that?
Well, not because I see it at wrestling parties, but that's like isn't that the Jerusalem of wrestling?
If it is, I had no idea.
Oh, really? No, it is. Yeah, it is.
But I mean, I when I was a kid, yeah, that was one of two things that I really cared about was WWF wrestling and Nintendo. That was it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, me too, man. From Colorado, me too. I feel the same way. I mean, I play a lot of video games. But what was the first WrestleMania each of you saw?
Well, I started going through the – I started renting all the VHS tapes when I was in probably about 96. So I was 11, and that I think at that time it would have been like WrestleMania 9 or something like that.
Oh, so you're – all right. So you're like 10 years younger than I am, because I did the same thing too where I would rent tapes because like we're never going to fucking convince our parents to pay for pay-per-view wrestling.
No, my family did not have much money, so pay-per-view was not even – I didn't even know how to access that. It wasn't
– Dude, I wouldn't have either. That was like just – totally inaccessible for me. The first one I remember, not the first one I watched, but I remember the Hulk Hogan Macho Man where they teamed up. And I don't know if that was at WrestleMania or just that era is the WrestleMania that I remember.
That used to be such easy memory for me, but I don't remember. I think that was 4. But anyways, I mean, my first one was 2. I got invited to somebody who had a pay-per-view party, and it was WrestleMania 2. I mean, I watched a little bit of wrestling on the weekends, you know, but like I never thought I'd watch WrestleMania, and I was like, my mind was blown, going like, this is what friends do, and this is fucking cool.
It showed you the light for the first time. Yeah.
I bought him a birthday present. I got him an Anthrax cassette, and I told my dad that I wanted to get him 2, and then I kept one.
Like, your dad was not fooled by that. Nobody needs 2 of the same album.
Like, yeah.
Just in case he loses one, Dad. Like, oh, yeah, okay, fine.
That's some real child logic right there, though. I mean, there's probably a million things I did and said like that made sense to me, and I'm sure every single person I said it to was like, you're a complete dumbass.
Yeah, they could 100% see through it, but you're a kid, so they just give it to you because... kids like cheap shit. Yeah. I want that toy. Okay, it's $2. Fine, you can fucking have the toy. I don't care. The reason I ask where you're from is because I'm wondering if you were raised religious at all.
I went to I grew up going to Catholic church every weekend, but it was kind of like I could tell that my parents didn't even care that much. Like they weren't actually that religious in their minds. They just kind of did it because they were used to doing it.
Yeah.
That was my perspective. And then for me personally, like by the time I was like 6 or 7, I was kind of sitting there in church being like, what is everyone doing here? Why? It didn't work for me. I was like, how can they take this seriously? Like
you said it was Catholic.
Yeah.
So that I didn't go to a Catholic church for a long time. And when I did, I was like, it was weird. All of the rituals of, they were saying things before you sit down and
a lot of
like,
and also you like that.
Yeah. That's mind blowing.
I definitely have like a nostalgic warmth about it now though, about certain elements of it. Like it feels comforting to think of like the hymns and like the father's voice when he's speaking and like, just like the serenity of the whole experience now and stuff like that.
That is a new perspective. No one has ever said anything like that. I like it.
Well, I'm also into goth shit and it's pretty goth. So
it is very goth. It's in it. It's, I don't think they knew what they were doing. Like, no wonder we all grew up to be Satanists. Like, they're like, we fucking killed a sheep, and the sheep is God, and God's blood, you're drinking it. It's, like, very intense.
This is all right, his let's body. See.
Yeah. Aliens, you said yes. That was yes. Yeah, you're like a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
So you're a little bit more of a Wade, but you're kind of like toeing the line, you know.
Good.
Yeah, no, it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. I tried hate to ride the 4s,
but it's not easy. Yeah. You know?
I think the fours are the worst because it's just like, commit. Like, go the whole way. Like, what is this one thing? You believe all this shit but Bigfoot? Come on. Fuck off.
Leave me.
All right, Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the Large Hadron Collider, the Atom Smasher. Could this thing be a secret time machine? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay, very straightforward. Yeah, now, so what is the on paper, if you look up the Large Hadron Collider, what is it? It's just a, I know that there's zooming atoms around and they're trying to find what the dark matter is that?
Well, no, it's like a tube that's like, I don't know the conversion. What the fuck is 20? It's 27 kilometers round. It's a circle underneath France and Switzerland around that border. And they use really fucking strong magnets to accelerate these particles, to smash them together, to see what happens when they smash together.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what the fuck they find. Originally, they were looking for this Higgs boson particle or the field, which proof of the Higgs particle, which would lead to proof of this. Basically, this field that is everywhere all around us, that I talk about this a lot, but it, like, basically this field that when this tiny particle interacts with it, it gives that particle mass. And so this whole thing is, the whole universe has got these tiny, tiny particles have mass, and they don't know where the mass comes from. If this Higgs boson field exists, if this particle exists, it just gives us a better sense of what our reality really is. And so they discovered a Higgs particle in the beginning. And so they're using that information to find out if it's actually the Higgs boson that they're talking about. So it's just like, it's just this giant experiment that they run thousands of experiments a day, just smashing atoms together, turning on these giant magnets underground.
So what is the where does the theory that it could be a time travel device come from?
Early on, there was a big malfunction, and somebody came out saying that they were from the future and that they sabotaged the collider because the future didn't want the collider to exist. I mean, sure, that's just somebody being crazy, and that's fun. But there were a lot of, you know, obviously it was all over. I say obviously, but it was all over all of the news outlets. Like, they really paid a lot of attention to it. And, you know, when they first turned it on, there were scientists out there saying there's a chance that turning this on could end the universe, could end our existence. I mean, at least our existence, that, like, we could accidentally create miniature black holes and suck the Earth into it. There were a lot of scientists that said this.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
They're still saying it.
It was weird.
Well, it's kind of like, we put a fucking shitload of money into this. Like, these guys are trying to ruin our... We spent the money. We're going to turn it on. Sorry.
Well, that's not true, though, because the one that they tried to make in America, they spent like $2 billion on it before they decided to just stop putting money into it.
Whoa.
Oh, I didn't know that happened. There's not one in America?
We were building one in Texas. It was going to be a super collider. It was bigger.
So, and it didn't happen?
Did it just not work? It wasn't going the right way, so they stopped it?
We had put like $2 billion into it, and then ultimately, I don't actually know the reason, but...
What do you mean we? It's a private thing, isn't it?
Congress agreed to put the money towards it, but then they were the ones that stopped it.
Whoa.
Huh. I don't know anything about that.
Me neither.
It was like, I think it was like 2013. It was pretty recent.
2013, 2014. That was right around when they had the first success in Switzerland, right? And found the Higgs. It's right around the same time. Isn't
it? Yeah.
Well, Chad, are you following any of these?
Only loosely. I do find this machine extremely fascinating, and I mean, it pretty much seems like the most powerful, potentially the most important thing that's ever been created by humans. I mean, anything
up until blockchain, put all your money in blockchain. I'm telling you, invest in blockchain companies.
I know, dude. It's weird. Like, the world is going to change in a second.
It could. I think this machine has the potential to, you know, I've been thinking and talking about the singularity for like over a decade now. And I feel like this is the only thing that is on that level. It's like, this could even be where the singularity comes from, even though no one's
talking. Hang on. I need a refresher on the definition of the singularity.
Okay. Well, nothing so far connects the collider machine to what the singularity is. But all I'm saying is, who knows? They could be connected. But the singularity is basically the moment when the human species becomes fused with technology and or the internet, to such a point that we are completely existing like as one. Like, we're not
symbiotic or as one.
Yes. Like in a symbiotic sense where like, we're not using computers anymore. We are fused with computers.
Yeah. Cause even in BSG, you know, the Cylons are still separate from the humans. I mean, just saying they won't reach a singularity in their world. What's because BSG? They're so separate.
BSG is Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just assumed you watch it. It's so funny.
Willie, not everyone is a huge fucking nerd.
I know, but if you're talking about the singularity.
You're a huge nerd. Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll dive further into the Hedron Collider and it being a time travel machine with our friend Chad Fierstad. Wait, you're a musician. Do you want to, real quick, before we go to the break, do you want to plug any of your music or anything?
Sure. When I was in Minnesota around the holidays for a few months, me and some old bandmates and friends made a 70s prog-inspired album. So we started a new band. It's called Kimono, and our debut album is coming out tomorrow. So.
Wow! Holy shit! It'll be out for a little bit. How do we find it?
Go to kimono.bandcamp.com for now. That's going to be the first place you can find it. But Kimono is spelled K-M-O-N-O. There's no I.
You for Google ability, you had to switch it up.
Well, and there was already another band spelled the normal way. So we replaced the I with an apostrophe. But in a URL, you can't use apostrophes. So it's just K-M-O-N-O.
All right, great. So check that out, and we'll be right back after this.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills and the kills and the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? Put that... What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our friend Chad Fierstad about the Large Hadron Collider. So, Talk us through this time travel. So the future came back and they're like, we don't want... Oh, by the way, did you guys watch Tenet?
Not yet. I'm meaning to.
Okay. I mean, it's not a good movie, but...
Doesn't seem like it will be.
Well, so originally when they first tried to open it, it didn't work out. people automatically were saying, like, hey, look, if we can discover the Higgs boson, we might fuck up the future in some way, because it's almost like the thing didn't work. And there are people out there saying this is nature saying that, like, we're not allowed to turn this thing on because we're actually going to start affecting the universe in a lot of ways. On November 1st, 2009, they were doing some testing with it. And on that day also, there was this airplane and there's official reports of this, but it somehow landed 5,500 miles off course. And so this led a lot of people to think that when they first turned this thing on, these giant magnets like affected the electromagnetic field in such a way that it like transported this plane far away and it landed in another area.
I mean, you had me until transported. I would have bought like that it fucked up their navigation system or something.
Here's the thing. They say it was like a weird time ripple. I mean, because it is on record that this thing was supposed to land 5,000 miles away on this day.
I mean, that's huge. Yeah, that's the length of America.
Based on what I read today, it does seem like one of the most likely things that could happen if they continue these experiments is the possibility of figuring out how to do teleportation, you know? And that's basically what happened in this instance with the plane, is it was teleported, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then on the next day, they shut down the Hadron Collider. And the official story is that a bird dropped some bread onto an external power thing that accidentally cut the power to the machine. So the official story is, a bird dropped a breadcrumb onto an external power part that shut down the machine.
Whoa.
And so people think that that's a cover-up story, because when they turned it on, it like affected things in a way, like this plane. And then also, you know, some people are throwing in the Mandela effect, that like that's when the Mandela effect started, was because they turned on this machine.
Wait, what year? 2009?
Yeah.
That was the year,
that
really?
That sort of tracked.
Shit,
I don't know when the Mandela effect started, but that 2009 is, I mean, you know, when did that
just all
when did Mandela?
Most of the theories I read are kind of around 2012, 2013, but that's just what I recall. But it seems like you've done more research than me, Willie. So
if you look at the universe, the craziest thing about it, and it's weird to say this, but like when you observe our universe, it has evidence of it being flat. And I say that being not the Earth, but the universe, because if you have two
not the
parallel
galaxy, the universe.
Yeah. If you have two parallel photons going forever, they're never going to intersect each other. Well, if you had two things going next to each other, parallel on a globe, they would run into each other, because the gravity and the shape of the globe would make them intersect. If you take a triangle, an equilateral triangle, using stars and stuff, if the universe had a shape to it, the triangle and the star relationships would have warped things to them too. The only thing that actually does affect photons traveling in a straight line or anything, and this is all verified experimentally, gravity bends space. Gravity bends time. And the bending of space-time can be a lot stronger if you have a lot of mass in a small object, like, you know, like a black hole, basically. So the point that I'm trying to make is, are we going to be able to time travel? You know, that's the big question. And in the old model of us having to go faster than the speed of light, that's just not the way time travel ever going to happen. We don't have the crafts that can get that fast. And then once they do, like, how do you slow down? That's a technology or an idea that is just, it's so old world that we're never going to do it that way. If we ever do time travel, it's going to be from creating black holes. It's going to be from opening up portals into other dimensions that you can step through. And so that's why everyone says, look, I know that they're looking at atoms smashing together and stuff, but what the information that they're learning is on the level of opening up other dimensions. See, the weird thing, it's like common knowledge that there are four dimensions around us, spatial dimensions. We've got up, down, left, right, you know, the Z axis, whatever, you know, whatever. We've got three different axes to go in directions. And you can go both ways in all of those axes for like a location, like picture telling somebody which room of a building you work in. It's like there's the, you have to use the left, right, the other direction, and then the up, down, you know, to find the exact room. A lot of people have basically come to the idea that time is another spatial dimension because we need time in the way that we observe the universe. But time isn't a real dimension in math. When you look at the M theory, string theory, I'm sorry, I know I'm talking too much, but like what we're observing and what we're doing, and if they can create small black holes on purpose from the information they're getting from this, they can rip spatial portal wormholes into our fabric of our reality.
But that sounds good, because they're not traveling through time. They're going to different dimensions or creating, or maybe when they travel through it, it creates a new dimension. And like, I think the scary thing about time travel is like how we could like fuck everything up, right? But if every time you time travel, you're going through to like a different dimension, then no harm, no foul, right?
The hardest part of this dimension talk is there's two different definitions of dimensions. One of them is spatial and one of them is parallel. And so sliders is parallel. Spatial is still around us here. They have experiments that show that time is affected really when you get close to high gravity things. You know, like what's the fucking movie? So, but if you could create that anomaly and affect, if you could bend the time right there, what if you could create a small black hole and send some information back in time?
Like how? Like with, like digitally?
You know, quantum computing is one thing, but what's that movie with Ben Affleck where he can see the news articles from the different times from the future?
That's not a movie. You dreamt that.
Ben Affleck looks at the
time
travel.
There's no way that there's a Ben Affleck movie that has anything to do with time travel. I would know it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Whoa, dude. No, I know. I thought we talked about it. Uma Thurman's in it.
It's not The Accountant.
The Accountant, he's like, he's got Asperger's and he kills people. It's off-putting.
This is ringing a bell. Now I'm curious.
Google.
Thank you for listening, but currently we're Googling.
Google. Is it Paycheck?
Ah, gosh, I want to say it's not that, but that's the one that keeps coming up because
are you talking about where he loses his memory and he's got like certain things in his pocket and he's trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Okay. That does have some sort of interdimensional. I don't know if it's time or interdimensional, but yeah, there is like a,
that machine that they made peeks into the future and sees the newspaper articles. So they can change the future by seeing the future articles and see if what they did changed the future.
Right. But that's like not the world that we're talking about, right? Because if you're opening up a portal, and I know there's two different types of portals, right? What'd you say? There's the sliders one, the parallel one.
The idea of parallel dimensions is the idea that every different choice that you could have made is an actually separate dimension that exists where you did make that decision.
Okay, yeah.
And then the other one? Spatial dimensions is just like, you know, up, down, left, right. Is this the Z-axis? I'm sorry. I'm so dumb about this.
Well, yeah, it's the Z-axis. Yeah.
In the spatial dimension sense, to make science easier, we've added time as a dimension because it's like, oh, the volume of this cube changed over time because of whatever reason, you know, for your math problem. We have seen time that can only go one way and it can't go the other way. It doesn't actually fit as a dimension.
Well, it also seems like a weird variable because time affects everything differently.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that dogs could live to be 100, but they just can't.
Yeah, and there's a decay that happens. And so...
Or like an ice cube is going to melt faster than I'm going to live my entire life.
Yeah, and that's why we've treated time as a dimension, because it's like, well, this is part of this is the next dimension. It's like it, but like, you know, you look at any other concept of time, time is flat circle, time, I don't know, all the different versions of what it is. They don't actually fit as a spatial dimension. So I only bring that up because in string theory, M theory, they talk about 10 spatial dimensions on the equation that work around us. So in that version, could you get a bunch of gravity like a black hole, spike it in such a way that you, you know, fold the page? It's like space folding. It makes space time contract. You step through it and then you undo it and nobody feels the effects, because in the same way you don't feel that you're flying in a plane, you know, or that the earth is spinning. You don't feel those things.
It's the exact same thing as teleportation, isn't it? You're literally just stepping from one spot to another. It's by traveling through time very briefly.
Sure. Yeah.
And they teleported stuff like last year.
Right.
Good, man. So why is this bad? Is this bad? This
sounds awesome. It's dangerous.
Yeah, but like, if I could get to New York in a second to like take a meeting, that'd be great. Yeah.
We just got
to
figure this.
I think it's good, right? It's good to for public use, but it's never going to be that.
Well, maybe we don't know that it's never going to be that.
That's just you hating everything.
Well, but how does it go from that to that? You know what I mean? Like we have
capitalism. Once it costs money and makes money.
True.
But picture that expensive jet that America bought that we spent so much money on, and then like we didn't even get to use one, right? I mean, I'm just saying that like from it going from secret to then either military or whatever the next step is to get in.
Yeah, but that's not fun. You're just talking about things that aren't fun right now.
Okay. Let's get into the fun aspect. The fun version to me is, let's say that there is somebody out there who knows that this device is creating a time travel thing, and they're just sending information back from the past just to prove that it works, right? So from that standpoint, you could learn about attacks against your country and then defend against them because you knew it was coming, you know? So there's the military aspect. Of course, there's the secret making your own money aspect. But my question is, if any of this is happening, how would you be able to prove that any of it was happening? You know, sure, we're talking time cops. Sure, we're talking Mandela effect. But my problem with the Mandela effect is people are just making this so personal now, where it's like, I read this one where like my gym teacher said, oh, somebody said I look like Snoop Dogg. I don't want to look like that guy. My gym teacher, I had him like 10 years before Snoop Dogg existed. So, so Mandela effect happened. And I'm like, this is just your bad fucking memory. And people,
That's every Mandela effect. I don't believe in the Mandela effect at all. Like, we have the worst fucking memories. Chad, what do you think? Is the Mandela effect real?
I mean, even calling it, like even saying, is it real or not? Even that is hard to answer, because it's like, I have had those experiences with a couple things where I was like, I swear to God that was that way. Like my whole childhood, like the one other than the Berenstain Bears one, which everyone knows about, which was kind of one of the original ones. That one, I was a victim of that, you could say. But then the Fruit of the Loom one got me too. Like my whole life, I pictured the Fruit of the Loom logo having a cornucopia on it, like through my entire life. And then finally, like, you know, a year or two ago, they started posting up the pics and how it was another Mandela effect thing. And I'm like, all right, I'm on that train too. That's one for me.
No, yeah. Like cornucopia, 100%. It was always there.
You thought so too?
No, it wasn't. You guys have shitty memories. No, like,
well, why would we have a memory of that? Why?
Because I don't know, but I would say like I'll bet there was a lot of imagery in the 80s of like a cornucopia with fruit in it. And then there's Fruit of the Loom also. And you just sort of like tie them together in your weird, dumb fucking head because like
all these people that have that exact specific thought. And also like what, like, sure, maybe cornucopias were more popular in the 80s, but like, can you pull up like a few images of like these places we would have seen these, you know, cornucopias on things? Like, Like, I haven't seen any examples, you know?
Oh, every Thanksgiving ad that you've ever seen for, like, a grocery store. Listen, it's easy to get me anti-Mandela effect because I have lived and been told things in my life that I was there for that I would swear that I wasn't there for. And people were like, no, you were there. And once they tell me that and I think about it, my memory rewrites itself. And now I do remember being there for it. You know what I mean? And so, like, I don't trust the human memory at all. I think the Mandela effect is, like, totally just people being confused because their brains suck.
Personally, I agree with you. I don't like calling it the Mandela effect. When we talked about David Lewis Anderson before, and here's a guy who was trying to be a whistleblower saying that people have, that governments are messing with these time travel machines, not the Hadron Collider. This is before that. But he just mentioned an interesting thing of, like, what happens. Let's just say in the future, time travel's real.
But before you even continue, I would say that, like, if time travel is real, then it's opening different dimensions, because it just feels like such a can of worms to be like, it's real and, like, everything that's happened could be changed at any time, you know? I just thought of this too, especially with, like, the internet, where now there's sort of a record of everything. Like, do all of the records change? Like, wait, no, I just fucked myself up. Do all the records change?
Okay, so, like, in the version you're talking about where they're slipping into parallel dimensions, they don't actually affect, that's why paradoxes aren't real, because you're not actually
let's just take a concrete example. Hitler, let's say that, like, right now we know that he killed 6 million Jews. The dumb trope of time travel is always, I'm going to go back and kill Hitler, right? So if someone goes back and kills Hitler, does me saying this right now, like, what happens to this record of it? Does it go back in time and now I'm saying the opposite? Or, like, how does that work?
You know, when I picture Michael Caine talking to Jim Belushi and Mr. Destiny, talking about the once this happened, this created a new chain, and this
longer exists. Little dots. Yeah.
Then that makes me just go, parallel dimensions are real, and this isn't the one that happened.
Killed Hitler, right? Chad, have you seen Mr. Destiny?
No, I've never even heard of that movie.
Oh, dude, man.
Mr. Destiny is great. I feel like most of our listeners probably haven't seen Mr. Destiny. It's great. Go watch it.
Yeah? Is it an episode of time travel?
Oh, it is a...
It's
a... So what if I could go back?
It's... He wakes up and he has the life that he's always wanted.
Oh, so it's kind of like a... Almost like Scrooged type thing, but like the opposite, where it's just like, rather than getting
scared. It's based on the premise of he thought he had a shitty life because he didn't get a hit in this high school game. Like, it was this big fucking moment and he didn't get a hit.
Oh, really?
And he always blamed his shitty life on it. And so Michael Caine comes to him and he's like, well, we could give you the hit. I can't do as good of a Michael Caine as Willie. But so he does hit it, and then he, like, marries the fucking prom queen or whatever, and his life is, like, way better.
It feels like a very early 90s plot or script. Is it? Or is it from a different time?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's actually a really fucking great movie. It's very heartwarming. It's great nostalgia to it. And
despite that it's Jim Belushi.
I know, dude. He's the one you're like, I mean, I like Jim Belushi, but man.
Oh, you like him?
And
he sucks.
And Michael Caine's one of those guys that, like, I can do his accent basically only saying his name. Michael Caine. Nothing else.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Roger. If you go back and you hit that ball, then your life would go in a different direction. That's good, right?
Yeah, you're like...
Yeah,
you're
it was
like,
good. It was good.
You're like one third of the way there.
Fuck you.
Way better than
a shark with a personal vendetta against me.
A shark.
Jaws 4. With
a personal vendetta. Is he in Jaws 4?
Yeah. Am I right?
He's the guy that is he the guy that Jaws goes up to New York to kill?
There's a Jaws 4.
Wait, am I wrong? I'm thinking of the Jaws with the theme park. Is that 2?
All I know is there's a Jaws. I haven't seen
it. No, it's 4.
Jaws
it's movies. 4. If you listen to anybody like Michio Kaku came on to some news station to talk about the Hadron Collider. This is right after the guy was like, "Oh, I came back from the future to stop the machine."
Wait, so that guy, the story about that guy is real. I thought it was an April Fool's joke. It's not an April Fool's joke.
Well, no, the article says April Fool's on it, but no, there was a guy who got arrested for. He came out like saying that he did that.
Wow, so that's a true story.
Wait, but catch me and the listeners up. I don't know this story.
Oh, well, I mean, when they shut it down.
The Hadron Collider.
Yeah, somebody came out and said that he sabotaged it because he was from the future.
Eloy Cole. That's his name. Eloy Cole.
Right? He wasn't an April Fooler.
I mean, maybe not. I read the articles and it sounded so fictional and so far-fetched. The shit that he claimed just sounded like it was straight out of a fucking movie. Like, I'm here from the future to save you from destroying the world, you know? So I had a hard time processing it, like, as reality, you know?
But that doesn't make any sense unless we're not – this thing is not a time travel. Because if this thing is a time travel thing, then he couldn't come back and warn us against it.
Right. He wouldn't have the ability, so he would have to thank – the device for being
able to
he said that the discovery of the Higgs boson led to limitless power, the elimination of poverty and Kit Kats for everyone, as a communist chocolate hellhole, and I'm here to stop it ever happening. So it
sounds like a Babylon Bee article.
What's that? Babylon.
Babylon Bee is the
conservative The Onion, where they just make up fake headlines.
That's what I'm saying. Then, I couldn't believe it was real.
Yeah. It sounds very much like an anti-communist. Like, everyone has Kit Kats. That's what he's worried about. What a fucking world that would be. I would love that.
You know, in the article from CNET, in parentheses, it says April Fools, but this article is from February 8th. This is 2012. This is way back, early Hadron Collider stuff. But, you know, fanatics come out when fantastical things happen. And I believe that he was a fanatic, but I'm also like, we would think that anybody was a fanatic that actually did come from the future to say anything, because part of us also says, like, well, if he's from the future, then time cops have to be real.
I would think if anyone came back from the future, we would never even hear about it. Like, if it had any sort of validity to it, the powers that be would very quickly put it under the rug.
Yeah, and put April Fools in parentheses in the article.
Well,
but it's funny because the article mentions nothing of it being a joke. That's the weird thing. So they even have another physicist. Is he a physicist? Brian Cox. He's a professor. He's a CERN physicist. Yeah. They have him commenting on the situation too, but they never say that it was a hoax, a fake, anything, but they put it in the article title. So it's weird. It's misleading. And you can read the article, and because they put April Fools in there, makes you go like, okay, you're joking on us. And why would you set the article up that way and then not close it with actually that, like, confirming that there was a joke in there? Now, I'm not saying that they're doing anything malicious or anything. It's just weird. It's a weird choice.
It's a bit confusing. That's for sure.
I just don't really care about this. This guy, I don't care about. I like the idea of teleportation and time travel, and I don't care if the world ends. I'm ready to go.
Let me ask you this, though.
What have we done with this world that's so precious that we need to save it?
Oh, man. Oh, dude. We're the worst.
Humanity is the worst. Yeah, so fucking blow it up. That's why I think do all this shit, science. Go fucking crazy. If we can invent like a thing where we're fucking teleporting or time traveling, I think that's worth the risk of blowing the entire universe up.
I'm with you on that. I really am.
Hey, Chad, did you watch the first Star Trek movie, the old school one?
No, but obviously all of this talk is reminding me more of Star Trek than anything. I watched some episodes of the series, but not the movies.
The first Star Trek movie. I mean, do you mind if I spoil it? Or if you want, you should watch it. You should watch it, dude.
I'm down, but I don't care if you can talk about it. You can spoil it. It's cool.
I only bring it up because you mentioned, you know, when you talk about the singularity, the crazy thing about the first Star Trek movie, which I, you know, critically, a lot of people didn't like it, but here they are traveling through space, this way in the future, and this alien craft comes back, and it's like, ultimately, this was, you know, we sent out the Voyager in the 70s, and the Voyager had information on how to find us and what we were and all this stuff, and basically a digital civilization found it and is returning it to us. But on its way to return it to us, it was like wreaking havoc. And so it's crazy to think about a digital civilization, because we might become a digital civilization. If the singularity ever happens, we don't need to be humans anymore. Not to say that we get to choose that, but
I don't know why we wouldn't want that. Are people fighting against the singularity? It sounds great to me.
Well, it terrifies a lot of people, but I'm ready. Like you said, I'm ready for it. You know,
this sounds cool. Everything we talk about that's like, this is the end of the world, I'm like, well, it sounds great.
It's just the next step, man. It's just time to take the next step.
Yeah. Why fight progress?
And so to compare it to like I can go both ways on it. 'Cause one way I could go like, well, what if our soul experience is cut short because we go in the digital realm and our souls are supposed to have an organic body, leave and come back and do another one, leaving? I don't know anything. I'm wrong about what our souls are, you know. But on the other side of it is, what if our souls could also join the digital world? Why? What, you know, like when you get into the semantics of what you believe, it's like the conversation stops because.
Well, first of all, I can't even picture a digital world. I don't know what that means.
Well, no one can, and that's the most fascinating part, you know?
Right.
Literally everything as we know it would entirely become something else. So
yeah,
but we would have the same limitations. Yeah, yeah. Like
it sounds great.
You talk about us having an our existence being more of a simulation. Going into the digital world, it would be. It would not be different because we would
be better, right? Because we would have control.
It's just you knowing what your existence is, you know? And so that's why.
Yeah, but we don't know what our existence is. That's the whole thing about humanity is we're sitting around going like, what's the fucking point of life?
Well, and that's why these all tie together to me, because to me, the main concept of the singularity is when we reach that, then we have this sort of God power. And with the Hadron Collider, it's the same thing. It's like they're trying to discover like basically the ability to create a Big Bang or black holes. It's like that's also a sort of God power. It's like both of these things are about God power.
Yeah, and is that bad? Like, is having God power bad?
Well, a lot of people clearly believe that we should not have God power. Only God should, for example.
You know, but he's fictitious.
Well, right. There's always God versus science. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to, you know?
Yeah. Then I'm firmly on the side of science.
Well,
it would be great, though, if because here's the thing, like the scary thing is having this science backed by God power. You know what I mean? And so like we need to separate those worlds, because if they combine again.
I actually don't know what you mean.
God in our society has ruled our society for so long. I know that like today it's especially in America, like it's quote unquote okay to not believe in stuff and have different beliefs. We're supposed to cater to everyone's beliefs.
Well, but it's not like history has always agreed on what God is.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying though that like what happens when science and God combine again, if that ever happens, that's dangerous because there's too many powers that
I would say it's not. I would. Here's the thing. I would say nothing is dangerous if everyone believes it. Like, I would be down to be a Christian if Christians just fucking wiped everyone out and they're like, you got to be Christian. And everyone's like, okay, we're Christians now. I'd be down for that because, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'll believe in your weird fake thing. Does that mean there's no more wars and shit and you're going to give me, like, stuff? Give me stuff because, like, you believe in God or whatever. So give me that shit.
I mean, my fear from what you're saying is if everyone believes in God, are you allowed to question him? Are you allowed to question his existence? If everyone, you know, like.
So that's an interesting, like, sort of, you're doing like a post-apocalyptic, like this one guy like wakes up and he's like, what if there's no God? And then he's like a pariah. And that's like a fun story. But like, if you get everything out of believing that there is a God, even if you don't, do you question it? Like what would you gain from that?
That's why it's crazy right now, all of this alien talk, because it's like, some people believe that the gods were aliens, and yeah, some people believe that aliens aren't real, and some people believe that.
Right.
I don't know. Some like, people, like to mix.
Some people believe that like this is all chaos and none of it matters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my fear is what happens when people stop questioning things. But also in the same vein.
Okay, but then you're talking about authoritarian, like. You have to do whatever I say because I'm the fucking guy in charge. But like, if God is the guy in charge and he's fictitious, then I guess, yeah, like who is the word of God or whatever. I get it.
I think that we just need to be able to have a healthy conversation of, it's like a reevaluation of what's right and wrong always, you know, because otherwise it's too easy to be like, no, you know, like the traditional thing of like, this is right because it's always been right. And that's right.
Okay.
Really
sure,
bad.
Sure, sure. But we've strayed pretty far off topic. Let's rein it in for the last 10 minutes. Let's get back to Higgs boson. If this is a time travel device, does it threaten us in any way? Or like, I don't know. I mean, like, give me the basics on, because I think everything I'm hearing is like, yeah, fucking do it.
Well, here's my, I'll go fast first and I'll first and fast. If you look at the space shuttle program, it was, hey, space is fun. Let's go explore it. And then slowly but surely, all of the payloads became classified because they were top secret military stuff happening all the time. My fear is that the particle accelerator, I know CERN is a European thing, but ultimately, if any of this has any real stake in anything, military is going to jump in. And then everything's going to be secret. And so there's going to be a face of what we're doing here. And then there's going to be a secret agenda. And so my, and I know that that's just how my brain is always going to work. But like, look at even the fucking space shuttle program, they're sending up 90% of their payloads are top secret. And this is the fucking space shuttle program.
But everything to you comes down to, Jesus Christ, what's the word? Corruption, right? Like, if you just would accept that corruption is always going to happen no matter what, like, you're never going to beat corruption. Like, that's just a fact of life, because we're all like these fucking dumb lizard people, and like, everyone's just clawing to be like the best. So,
I mean, I accept that that happens. I accept that that happens, but I fear time travel becoming real, knowing that it's going to get corrupted. That's
well. What if time travel is real, and it was a white guy going like, we're going to make white people the most powerful, and this was like fucking 600, 700 years ago, whatever, and now white people are great, like we run everything, but we're like. We're working through it, and minorities are going like, what the fuck, white people? Like, fuck off. So, like, don't you think? I guess what I'm saying is there's always a course correction. There's always going to be, because of human nature, there's always going to be a course correction. So, like, even if they fuck something up really badly, it could take us 600 years, but we'll get there.
See, and listen, I love that you said that, because I always feel like it's my job to be the course correction, but you know what I mean? Like, that's why I always like harp on the same shit. But like,
I have the hope that humanity will have the course correction. That's what I want to have. But like, if this is all real in some way, Atom Smasher figures out small black holes and they start time traveling, it's going to be years before we find out what the fuck's going on. So like I have the hope that we'll figure it out and this will be a benefit to humanity. Ultimately, let's say this isn't a time travel machine. I still think it's a great thing. I think studying the nature of the universe is really great for forwarding our place in the universe. What do you think, Chad?
Yeah.
Just overall about the machine. I just go back to basically what Wade was just saying. I just think we're at a point in humanity where it's, any experiment that's just trying to move forward or find anything, I'm all for it. Like there's no specific signs of any specific dangers. It's like clearly anything could happen and it is scary, but what do we have to lose? You know?
You just made me think like it might just be people who are just totally afraid of change. Like it could just be like, if this one thing happens, then, well, but that doesn't explain conspiracy theorists because they don't like their lives. But like, I feel like at the base of all of these conspiracy theories about this, like scientific research is change is bad.
People fear it. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I'm like pro change. I don't even give a fuck. I don't mean to sound like a bro. God damn it.
No, I'm so pro change too. Yeah. Like that's, yeah.
Like it's what I was saying last week. Like you live in the world that you live in. And if it changes, you change with it. Right. It's adaptability and evolution.
Yeah.
So why fight it? Like you can't control it. Oh, the Democrats to control the Senate. Oh, I'm going to fucking piss on my neighbor's lawn. Okay. Well, that's a really immature, just see the angles and play them, right? Like,
I feel like I'm finding myself thinking that constantly, being like, just like looking at different things and being like, come on guys, like just ride the wave. Don't fight it. Just ride it.
Totally. Totally. Dude, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
I will say this. I work with a lot of people that are older than me and I overheard a conversation of a bunch of them getting together. And I love all these people. I think they're great. But I heard like a big handful of them talking about how they couldn't connect to Demi Lovato, like having to change her identity.
I don't know what's going on. Is she lacking pronouns now or what's
she's going by they.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know.
And they can't get on board because if they run into Demi Lovato, they're going to call her she and she's going to be pissed off. Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was just the whole time I was going like, this is you guys holding on to the tradition of what you thought life was supposed to be. And when I overheard them talking, I was going to jump in and chime in. But I was like, I'm not going to change their lives. I don't need to. Like, listen, Demi tried to tell them why she wanted to identify as something else and they weren't having it. And I was just like, well, if I can change for myself, this is the lesson that I keep relearning. Is it like, if I can change for myself, it's not my duty to change anybody else, you know, and like, I'm not better than anybody, but I want to change myself to be an example for other people.
Yeah, no, we're totally all on the same page. Like, Ellen Page became, Elliot. Something else. Is it Elliot?
Yeah, it's Elliot Page.
Are you sure? Because I thought I wanted her to be Elliot, and she chose like Alan or something like that.
No, it's definitely Elliot.
Oh, it is. Okay, well, whatever. But it's like this has zero effect on me. But I'm sure that there's like a bunch of fucking friend groups who are like, I can't believe it. What? She's a man now. And it's like, but it doesn't affect you. So who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And that was weird. It was great to hear them talking because I was like, oh, this is the old generation and they can't handle the change.
You just can't. You can't make any money if you're tied to the old system. And isn't that what we're all here for? To make enough money that we can die in our giant king size beds.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You have to prove that you are going to help someone else change and so that you get paid to help them.
All right. We should wrap it up. Chad, thank you so much for being here. You plugged your band, plug it one more time and then plug your books and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. My band Kimono, it's 70s style prog. Our record's coming out this weekend. Our debut.
Wait, album. Let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
Is 70s style prog the same as math rock, or is math rock come out of 70s style prog?
I'd say math rock was probably a later subgenre that was probably inspired by prog.
Okay, but they're related, right? I'm not like way in the field about this.
Yeah, they have similarities for sure, for sure.
Okay, so Kimono, K, M, I forget how many vowels are missing. Just the one?
Well, just the I, yeah.
It's K apostrophe M-O-N-O. But, you know, when you're typing in the URL, you can't use an apostrophe. So it's just kmono.bandcamp.com. And that'll be on streaming services in about a month, too.
Fucking great, man. What are your books? You got books. Warship, Satan, books. And that.
Yeah, I did two fiction novels and two anthologies featuring short stories by a variety of interesting people from Los Angeles, primarily. But yeah, they're both titles are a little transgressive of the novels. It's Warship Satan and Popping Cherries, and they're both kind of a blend of kind of Bukowski-ish dark comedy with psychological horror, I'd say. So,
interesting, both of them.
Yeah, but the first one's a coming of age story, so it's a little more innocent. It's more like kind of like a pervy goosebumpsy book.
Okay.
And then Worship Satan is a lot more gruesome and adult and more graphic. Yeah.
Cool, man. So how do people, is that just on Amazon, or do they look up your name, or how do they find them?
Yeah, you can get them either on Amazon if you just search in the books section for my name, Chad Fierstad, or I also have it's a multimedia production house. I publish the books through them and I put out some music. It's called Ephemeral Night Terrors, but it's kind of hard to remember and hard to spell. But there's a Bandcamp page for that too, Ephemeral Night Terrors. So you can buy the books. Yep.
You've also got to spell Fierstad because it's like Norwegian or something.
It is Norwegian. It's F J E R S T A D, and yeah, the J is basically just pronounced like a Y, like Bjork. So
yeah, or like an umlaut almost, right?
Almost, sure, or a fjord.
Willie, any plugs?
Not this week.
Okay, I will tell you guys to subscribe to my YouTube page because I'm, regardless of where you follow me, everything sort of ends up on YouTube. So that's sort of the thing. Like all my TikToks end up there. Like everything I do kind of ends up there. Yesterday, I just released a review, not a review, but like a, I don't know what it would be, a breakdown of This Is Us. I'm like, now I'm breaking down episodes of This Is Us. I sort of hate that nice. Show. And I don't really know why I hate it. So I'm sort of talking through episodes. And if that interests you in any way, then just go to YouTube, Wade Randolph, and watch me talk about This Is Us for 6 minutes. I'm going to do it weekly. I don't even give a fuck how many hits it gets. It's just for me. I think it's therapy.
I almost did that.
I hate that show. What?
I almost did that once. I hated. Okay. So I loved season one and two of Ozark so much. But then yes. I hated season three so much that yes. I almost did a podcast where I just did one episode for each episode where I'm just like talking about why I hate each episode.
Yeah. You should, man.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Hey, I'm gonna change my mind.
Okay.
Go find my Googie on YouTube because if I can get 100 subscribers, then I can change the address instead of having a weird address. I can make my own.
Oh, that's important.
G-O-O-G-Y, Googie. I'm making a kid's version of the YouTube page so that I can start making content for kids with moose. I'm going to like start reading stories and coming up with characters and shit.
Cool.
Sounds great. Chad, thank you so much for being here. Are you willing to stick around and do the bonus episode?
Of course, man. Yeah. Given my night to okay. this.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. We're going to keep drinking and keep talking to our friend Chad Fierstad. Check out all of his shit. Check out Willie's Googie. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening.
Googie.